Chat with Traders, Episode 7.
The biggest secret of the best traders in the world is that they're just like everyone else. However, they've worked hard to learn the markets and discover what works and what doesn't. But how can you hear about these journeys and get in on the strategies and tactics they use? You can do it by listening to Chat with Traders. Here's your host, Aaron Fifield.
What's up, guys? Thanks for tuning in to what is episode number 7 of Chat with Traders. As always, it's awesome to have you with me, tuning in and listening to the podcast. Today, I have one incredible success story to share with you, and it comes in the form of a 24-year-old trader, Matthew Owens. At the time of this interview, he was well over $400,000 in the green just this year alone. Well, truth be told, this was actually his first year trading with real money on the line. Now, I'm sure a lot of us wished we had a first year just like this one, which is why I felt Matthew was a great fit for the show. Matthew links the majority of his early success to seeking out an education, studying hard, and a decent stint of paper trading. But here he is to fill in the blanks and tell us his story. Hey, Matthew, great to have you here, and thanks for coming on today.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. You've been having a huge success this year, so I'm really looking forward to this interview and hearing some of your insights. Let's kick things off by telling us, what was your introduction to the stock market? Like, how did you initially get started, and what was the motive?
Okay, so I first got started in the stock market when I was in middle school, actually. We had a stock program where we would invest in companies and whoever won didn't have to take the final exam. And so that was my first experience with the stock market. After that, I kind of just sat by, I would say probably for 10 years or so, just kind of watching stocks, watching the market both explode and collapse. And, after that, I kind of just had been an innocent bystander. And then one day I was sitting at my job and I was just like, I would really like to be a trader. I've always been interested in the stock market. Why would I do all these research on companies and not play it? But I wanted to get educated. So I started to look on YouTube for different kinds of stock traders, who was good, who was bad. And I actually stumbled across Tim Sykes. And I watched, all his little YouTube videos that he had for free. And then the rest is history, as they say. I got his DVDs. I entered his penny stocking silver things to learn as much as I can. And I stumbled across Superman and then kind of switched sides on that. And we are here today. So,
okay.
That's the long-winded kind of thing, but...
Yeah, that's really cool, Matthew. So what was your job, just taking a step back a step, what was your job before you sort of became a trader?
So I worked in student housing. So when I went to college, I had been a waiter before that, but when I was 16, and then when I went to college, I started working at the desk there, then I was an RA, and then I became a property manager for an off-campus student housing complex, and then, I started to research stocks.
Okay, so completely unrelated jobs to finance and trading and that sort of thing. During that 10 years, when you were just sort of, as you mentioned, just sort of watching the market, how closely were you watching it during that time? Would you just sort of look at it once a week, or...?
I probably looked at it almost every day. Just to look at, the way I won the stock market competition actually in school was I just put all my money in Apple. And at the time, Apple was trading at $27. And then within that year, it had almost doubled. So after that, I pretty much watched the market almost every day. Just overall, I mean, nothing, or what company was coming out. Netflix, I remember when Netflix first started. It's a little IPO. Just watching overall big companies, in the market itself.
Okay, great. So when you started watching, you mentioned you sort of learned from Tim Sykes, a lot of his sort of methods early on. Where did you go from there after learning that? Did you sort of start paper trading? Did you straight away open an account? How'd you go from there?
So at the time, I didn't have a lot to my name. And so I actually started paper trading, which is something, you know, Tim, I wouldn't say he's against. It's just something that, you know, he doesn't really like. And he had mentioned that a couple times, like, you know, in his penny stocking conference and just even on some of his videos. But I started paper trading for about 6 months. So basically from August to December of 2013, I started, you know, paper trading and being in his chat room. Because I felt like I didn't want to put any of my real capital at risk until, like, I had some experience under my belt, so.
Okay, so, I mean, a lot of people struggle and find it hard to relate to paper trading because there is very little emotion when you detach yourself from real money. So what benefits did you take away from paper trading, and how much do you think this has contributed to your success today?
I disagree with that. If you really treat it like it's your own capital, I disagree with the notion that it's, you can't have emotions to it. Like, if you actually treat it like it's your own capital, you can still simulate kind of the same kind of emotional roller coaster. At least for me, I was able to do that. And it helped me kind of iron out, like, you know, breakout plays, what to expect, honestly. Like, let's say a breakout didn't, like, work or something, you know, what could happen, when to cut losses quickly, when to kind of hold and fold them, almost, if you will. And so paper trading for me allowed me to gain, I guess, the real world experience without having to go through those pains of with my own capital. And I think it contributed to my success a lot in the sense that I didn't, out the gate, I didn't make as many newbie mistakes as I did, I think, someone who just randomly starts. You know, I also had the education kind of behind me too, so I also got to test it out without, you know, having the consequence of messing up, you know. And I never was just like, it's paper money, I don't care what happens. I was never that kind of person. So I guarded my account the way I was taught and tried to, at least when I was paper trading. So.
Okay. I think that's some really good points you're making there, Matthew. How long were you paper trading for?
Like I said, I paper traded for about 6 months. So basically in August, I started researching Tim Sykes, got into his chat room, paper traded all the way up until about December. So.
Okay, cool. So now let's talk about when you started trading with actual money. So I believe you started with an account much larger than the majority of beginner traders start with. And from memory, I think I read it was around about 100K.
That's correct.
Yeah. So even though you had this money, you didn't have to put it all into a trading account. So I'm interested to know why you started so large and how were you comfortable to do this?
How I ended up even with that money was, you know, my mom actually passed away in early January. And I had talked to her before she passed away about, like, this is, like, something I want to do. And she said, you know, it's there for you to do what you really want with it. And, you know, I know that you're interested in trading, so, you know, I'm fine with you doing that. So, and I was comfortable doing that because I had the discipline, I thought, to actually follow through with my trading. I had paper traded for so long, 6 months is a long time, every day, day in, day out. And, you know, I felt comfortable enough to understand position size and not take too large a position and, you know, kind of just trade around my account size and not, you know, overextend myself, you know, because also, too, in the back of my mind, you know, it was also a gift that I had been given, you know, and I didn't want to mess it all up by being irresponsible. So I felt comfortable enough being disciplined enough as a trader to trade with that amount of capital as long as I was never trading above, you know, 10% of my account.
Okay, sure. So Matthew, now that you are trading and you're very active, how would you describe your trading style? I mean, I know you're a very versatile trader, but just sort of give us a bit of an overview on, you know, your approach to trading.
So my approach to trading is every day I sit down after the market has closed, go make a watch list, kind of look at all the different indices, what they're doing, where certain support and resistance levels are. Also, if it breaks or cracks below X support level, this could be a good short, or if it breaks above, you know, it would be a good long. I also look at companies like SEC filings. I'll go through those, especially during the earnings season that we're in right now. And kind of checking out each individual company, making sure, like, do they have enough cash? So I do a lot, actually, when it comes to prep work. When I approach a market each day, I have a trade plan. I know what I want to trade. I know where I want to actually enter and where I would exit if I was in a trade, even if I don't take the trade that day. I guess the one main thing is how I approach the market is, I guess I really just prepare myself for the day ahead and look at all different kinds of stocks and all kinds of different filings. So,
okay. So, you spend a lot of time researching. How much time would you say you spend or devote to trading, or sorry, devote to research every day? And what are the things you're actually researching, like, besides the sort of SEC filings and those sort of things? Are you looking at technicals? Do you want to take us into that a little bit deeper?
Okay. So the amount of time I devote to actually researching is pretty much as long as I'm awake, honestly, if that makes sense. I not only do I do fundamental analysis, I also do a lot of technical analysis. So if you're not familiar, I use something called the Ichimoku Cloud, which is a technical indicator. I also use RSI, and I use Sostochastics. And I find simple support and resistance levels as far back as, you know, a year to 5 years, and usually draw them along the chart line just to show, like, where major support and resistance is as well, just from a simple technical analysis perspective. And then I also do intraday trading in the sense of, you know, playing off of those major support and resistance levels. So I do some technical analysis as well as fundamental analysis. It's really a blend of the two. And, you know, I try to get as close to support and resistance as close as I can. I don't do anything like crazy fancy, but that's pretty much it. It's just simple technical analysis.
Okay. And what about news reports and those sort of things? Do they have an impact on your trading decisions?
It depends on what the news release is. So if it's good, if I consider it to be like a good press release, and they had blowout earnings, or they have a press release where it has, like, disruptive technology that's, like, coming out, you know, that will impact my trading in the sense, like, that is a stock that I'll look at for that day. But normally, I already have a set of stocks that I'm already interested in. You know, sometimes does that thesis change in the sense that I'll go out and I'll, you know, actually play that stock? Of course. But the story has to be there, the numbers have to add up to me. I just won't blindly go into it because it says that it beat on by 0.01 cent, you know, like there has to be more for me. It needs to be blowout earnings for me to actually even get interested in it. So of course, press releases, I think for any trader are a huge thing. It's just how the quality of the press release is something that I'm really interested in. So,
okay, that's great, Matthew. Thanks for sharing that with us. Let's just talk typically. What does a good setup look like to you? What are you looking for that gives you the confidence to take a trade?
So a lot of it outside of fundamental analysis has to add up to the technical aspects. So for me to take a trade, long or short, it has to reach a certain requirement by a technical perspective. So Ichimoku Cloud, the way I use it is if price breaks out of the cloud on a 15, 30 minute or an hour time frame, and if it's breaking out downwards, that's a potential short. And it's also backed usually with some kind of thesis of whether the company is in debt, or if they're over, if I think they're overvalued. But most of all, it's the technical indicator. And I also set up like stops outside the cloud if it like breaks above it, or so that way I have like a set risk. And you know, that would be a typical setup for me. Also going long, although I do actually prefer to go short a little bit more than I do to go long. And even if I can't get actually shorting the stock, I will actually buy puts over, you know, just shorting it if I can't find any shares to short. And, you know, that would be a typical trade for me, you know, as if the fundamental analysis is there as well as the technical indicator is there and I can get upright support and resistance, I'm all for taking the trade.
Okay, awesome. Well, you've got a really good video about that, if I'm going to pronounce it right, Ichimoku Cloud. Yeah, so we'll put a link to that in the show notes so that listeners can find out more about that, because, I mean, it's not an overly popular indicator. But moving on, so let's say that you're into a trade, you get in right, it's important that you get out right. So how do you typically manage a trade, and what's your average holding time?
My average holding time is, depending on the trade, is usually anywhere from a day to, it can be 30 days. It just depends on, like, the thesis that I have for the trade. You know, even if I'm going for just a simple day trade, I still have, like, a thesis of what I'm expecting from the trade. And I also have a set, like, risk of what I'm willing to lose. I think what, for me, I have trained myself to only think about the losses and never about the gains, because I will always enter a trade being like, this is how much I will lose on the trade, never based on the fact of how much I'll make. And I set my stops accordingly to that. You know, I also have mental stop and hard stop sometimes, but you know, it just really depends on the trade. I can't really tell you an exact time frame, but overall I like to be flat on the day if I can, meaning that I'm completely out of every trade that I have. But if I have a good long-term thesis, because I do trade the indices as well, you know, then I will, you know, obviously hold longer.
Okay, right. And that, I'd just like to dive into that a little bit more. So you also trade futures. I mean, when were you comfortable to start trading futures? Because, I mean, you've sort of only been trading since the start of the year, I believe. You know, a lot of people might take a little while before they actually move into trading a product like futures. When did you start looking at these?
So I actually started looking at futures a couple months ago. And to me, from a technical perspective, like, futures trading was pretty predictable, you know, and each tick, what I guess drew me to it is, like, each tick is worth X amount of dollars. So, like, for example, E-mini futures, S&P 500, if you buy one contract, every tick up or down, so if it goes from 2000 to 2001, it's $50. And I thought it was very fascinating that every day you could come to the market and actually, if you could, you know, buy close to support and resistance, you know, you could make a couple hundred bucks every day. And just based on technical analysis, you're not looking for a huge 10, 20 point move, although you can get those, you know, but you're just looking for a 3 to 4 point move and you can make, you know, a couple hundred dollars. And I also found it really fascinating too, that you don't have to have a large account to actually trade, the futures contracts, and also that the futures market is open 24 hours a day, pretty much. I think it only closes for 45 minutes. And that's another thing. And they're so liquid. You can short or go long without little to no pushback from your broker. and that it's relatively cheap. And it's I think it's a great way for people to either hedge against the market, or in the sense of like whether it's going to go up or down with their own positions, or just for a trader who only has $5,000 to their name and be able to make a couple hundred bucks, as long as they're disciplined, obviously, enough and know where to enter and where to exit and what, you know, obviously have a trade plan. But, you know, I just found it, it was an incredible way to just make money, you know, a couple hundred bucks a day and with the small account size. And so that's what drew me to it. And then also to be able to short or go long a major indice and make money in that way, you know, like that incredible bounce that we just had from 1830 to 1900s or 2000 on the S&P, to be able to make money off of that, that's what really drew me to actually just trading the indices.
Okay, that's really cool. So to date, are there any standout trades that you'd like to share with us, either for all the right or wrong reasons? Maybe took away some really valuable lessons from these?
So you mean like what trades like taught me certain lessons?
Yeah, is there a specific trade that, you know, you're always going to remember that either went terribly, terribly wrong or extremely well? And, you know, you sort of picked up some good lessons. If it went bad, maybe you're like, oh, I'll never do that again. Or if it, obviously, on the other hand, if it went right, you're like, you know, conscious to be doing more of that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. So I'll go over one good and one bad. So one trade that taught me the most of not to be so stubborn and just admit when I was wrong was there's a stock called TLOG. And I got into the trade just because Superman was in the trade. And I broke a rule. That's rule breaking right there. And I thought that pharmaceutical company was going to go to the moon. Just because of all the research that they were doing, etc. And I was very stubborn. I ended up losing like $12,000 on that one trade. You know, and I had gotten in like basically at the top, and it pretty much collapsed all the way downwards. And so that really taught me to, one, you know, have a trade plan. Don't follow others, no matter how good they are, you know. Because like I think Tim, Nate, and Superman, they have a clout about them, you know. To that, you know, if you're a new trader and you want to make a lot of money, maybe you should just follow them. And that taught me that that's not the way things are really done. You know, and then another lesson I probably learned from that is position sizing. You know, $12,000 to me at the time was a big deal. That was over 10% of my account. And so those are the two kinds of lessons I learned from that trade. Another trade that I actually just had that was a good trade was I bought two contracts of the S&P E-mini S&P 500 at 1830, and I sold out at when it hit like 2009, basically, because I was looking for that bounce. I think I made like, in a month, I made like 17K on it, which isn't like a huge thing. But it was a good affirmation for me to kind of mix, you know, everything I learned into like one trade. So having a thesis, why am I getting in the trade? What is my, you know, I was willing to lose $3,000 basically, but I knew if I was right, I would had the potential to make 17 to 20. I didn't catch the top obviously because the S&P is now at like 2040, but that taught me, you know, like if I can have a plan and, you know, actually stick to it, you know, I can do pretty well, you know. And I followed no one into that trade at all. That was all just me. And so that was a really, it was a rewarding moment, I guess, for me. So.
Okay, that's really cool. Well done on that. I'd like to dive into something you said there, and that's just sort of following alerts, because I know there's a lot of people out there who sort of sell subscriptions and alerts and that type of thing. Instead of following these sort of, I don't know if you would say it, maybe blindly, how should you learn from these, and how should you benefit from these alerts without actually just following them into it?
So that's a really good question. You know, the alerts of any guru, quote unquote, or anyone else who is there giving you a watch list, the point of all of that is to honestly learn how they trade and what they see. All of these people out there who give you those alerts, it's literally just so that you can know what they're looking at and why they're looking at it. And which is the greatest benefit to a trader overall, because it gives you kind of a look into the mind of what they're thinking. And it's not meant for you to follow them and make oodles and oodles of money. It's so that you can be self-sufficient. And, you know, you should never follow anyone into a trade. I mean, I rarely follow Superman into any trade because the setup has to be good to me. Just because it's good to Superman doesn't mean that it's good for me. And it's just basically for educational purposes. And so, you know, I think that's very important for at least any new trader who's actually looking into any kind of guru, is just to understand that it's not meant for you to follow them. It's meant for you to learn from them. And that's a key delineation between the two that you have to learn, because if you try to follow them, you will get burned. It's inevitable.
Okay, I like it. I think there's some really valuable points in there. You do a little bit of coaching and you're quite active in some chat rooms. Where would you say is the one area entry-level traders continually get it wrong and lose money?
I think the one area where entry-level traders lose money is what we just talked about, was just following. A lot of times in any chat room, they always get discouraged because they'll end up losing, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars over time just by following alerts, and they don't understand why that this person's alerts aren't working. And it's you know, taking them from being a follower to a leader, essentially, and teaching them how to basically fish for themselves. And that's the real step that each new trader needs to understand. There's 1,000 different ways to make money in the market, whether it's Tim Sykes' method, your own method that you come up with, you know, Superman's method. You know, take all of those things, learn from those people, and then make trading your own. And to get a newbie trader to realize that, that's either going to make them or break them. I see a lot of new people, they just get so frustrated that they just give up. And it's like, you haven't even spent the time to actually learn yourself as a trader, gain the knowledge that you need from others in order to succeed. And you're just throwing in the towel, you know, is because you can't make money off someone's alerts is ridiculous.
Okay. So I'd just like to dive into something again that you mentioned there, and that's how you sort of learned from a range of people. Why did you decide to learn from a range of people instead of just one? And how did you benefit from this? I guess what I'm trying to say is, did you ever find that taking advice from multiple people gave you some mixed messages?
I would never say they ever gave me mixed messages. Learning from different people taught me basically that there is different ways to make money in the market, and there are different strategies. It also taught me a lot of different things that I was completely blinded to at first. Like when I first started with Tim, for example, he was very focused on pump and dumps, technical analysis breakouts or breakdowns. And you know, that was kind of his bread and butter. Nate, for example, he's really into parabolic overextended charts, red to green moves, and you know, he's a very fundamental technical analysis. Superman, he is, you know, he does calls, puts, you know, options trades. You know, he also is he's really good at fundamental analysis. He has chart trades. And so the reason I learned from all of these people is so that I could understand what all those things are, and number two, expand my knowledge of the stock market and not just be confined to one kind of thing. Because the truth is that the stock market changes. Patterns that existed way back when and were like all the time are few and far between now. You know, the stock market always changes, and if you're not versatile, I think you lose out on being able to change with the stock market. So that's why I learned from all of them.
Okay, that's a great answer. So for anyone who is keen to get into trading or has been trading for a while and not really getting anywhere, what would you recommend as the most direct path to learn and becoming profitable?
The most direct path would just to be study and to not give up. I mean, the truth is that we all, every trader has gone through trials and tribulations. You know, the most direct path is, I guess, to one, understand yourself as a trader. The second thing would be to find what you like to trade. You know, stocks are not the only thing to trade on the market. There's tons of stuff. And I think the third thing is, you know, to, I would say, really not give up. I mean, you'll eventually get it. Like, trading is a skill. And it just takes time and practice, and you know, not to just throw in the towel when things are hard. I've lost over $30,000 in money, and I felt like giving up sometimes too. So if you can stick with it and learn yourself as a trader and come up with your own trade plans and make your own watch lists and learn as much as you can from people who have come before you, I think that you'll go far. Honestly.
Okay, that's awesome, Matthew. And that sort of brings us towards the closing bells, which is just a round of short, sharp questions before we let you go. So the first one would be, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
When it comes to trading, as corny as it may sound, the best piece of advice I've ever gotten is you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. And I actually heard that from my dad. So
I like it. Well, makes sense, doesn't it?
It really does.
What is the number one trading resource you couldn't live without today?
I would probably say, honestly, Yahoo Finance. They have literally everything that you could ever want as a fundamental analysis all right there for you. So SEC filings, who's in the company, how much they own, what percentage. I heavily rely on Yahoo Finance, actually. So,
okay, that's really cool. What is one book you believe is a must read for any trader just starting out?
It's called The Disciplined Trader. Developing Winning Attitudes to Trading, and it's written by Mark Douglas.
Okay, awesome.
It's kind of an older book, so.
Right, they're usually the best ones. knowing everything you do now, what would you have done differently come day one?
I probably would have taken just a little bit more time to paper trade, I would say, actually. I mean, I know I did it for a while. I probably would have liked to hone my skills a little bit more before I got out there, because in the stock world, 6 months isn't that long. So that's one thing I really wish I probably would have focused on. I probably would have made less mistakes than I did when I first started out. Because if you look at my chart on Profitly, you kind of can see a huge dip. And then when I actually got tutoring help, I would probably say, let me rephrase that. I probably should have gotten tutoring help before I even entered the stock market. That's really probably what I should have done.
Okay, cool. And when you say tutoring help, what do you mean by that?
So, like, Tim had a boot camp almost. Superman had the same thing. I wish I would have taken that first. It's like Superman's boot camp before I started trading, because I started trading before his boot camp. I guess what I'm saying is that I should have taken that first before I actually started trading. So.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. That's really good. All right, Matthew. Well, that brings us towards the end of the interview. So thanks again so much for coming on. It's been awesome to have you and really enjoyed your answers, I think. Anyone listening will be able to take a lot away from this. So, yeah, thanks again.
Thank you for having me.
Before we let you go, do you want to share with listeners where they can find out more about you and connect?
Yeah, you can learn pretty much everything you wanted to know about me by going to triforestrader.com, and or you can follow me on Twitter at triforestrader. And those are really the only two things. I have my own like website, goes over like who I am and how I trade, and then obviously Twitter is just kind of, I'll post stuff there from time to time.
Okay, great. All right, thanks, Matthew. All those links will also be in the show notes at chatwithtraders.com. So until next time, Matthew, take care.
All right, thank you, Aaron.
You've come to the end of this episode of Chat with Traders, but don't worry, more great episodes are on the way. To stay updated with each great new episode, be sure to subscribe to the podcast in iTunes, and we'd love it if you leave us a rating and review. We'll see you next time on Chat with Traders.